Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
I know I sometimes wonder why I hardly say a word in the 90 miles that we drive up here, but you know, I'm mulling all this over and over and over, and I got to thinking, I've always made the statement, as long as I've been teaching anyway, that if you can get a grasp of Genesis chapter 3 and Romans chapter 3, you've got a good share of the Bible understood. But I came up today with the thought, and Ephesians chapter 3. And so, if you can put these three third chapters together, Genesis chapter 3, which gives you the account of the fall of man and the beginning of sin and the curse, Romans chapter 3 is the remedy for it, where you find the first real instance of salvation by faith and faith alone. And now we come to this third chapter of Ephesians, and it just simply explodes with things that most people never hear. And I was, again, just thinking in my own thoughts without even saying anything to Iris. I can't think of a single Sunday school lesson in all my years in church. I can't think of a single Sunday morning sermon in all my years of going to church that was taken from Ephesians 3. And I got heads nodding all over the room. It's a fact. I mean, they ignore this for some reason or other like it's a plague. Or an analogy I've made before, like some unwanted stepchild. It's there, but they just don't want to be bothered with it. But here it is, and it's just so full of what you and I as Grace Age believers have to understand. And what it really amounts to is that all of these revelations that have been given to the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Gentiles, had been kept hidden and secret in the mind of God until revealed to this man. Now, people don't like that. They don't like to admit that. And it's simply because they're so much more comfortable in preaching and teaching Christ's earthly ministry, which is all well and good. I never take anything from Jesus Christ, and I think people who hear me teach know that. In fact, I probably elevate him far above what most people do. And I've always used the expression, would to God that more people would ask, who in the world is Jesus Christ? Because most church people do not really know who he is. They do not know him as the creator of everything, the sustainer of everything, as well as, and we'll see this later in the afternoon, the person of the Godhead who stepped out of that triune God and became flesh in order to go the way of the cross. Well, all of these things, of course, come out in Ephesians chapter 3, which most people, like I said, hear nothing of. All right, so verse 1, he starts right out, for this cause, and I always have to stop. Well, what's he talking about? What cause? Well, everything that he had just expounded in the first two chapters. And the epitome, I think, of the first two chapters, before we even start Ephesians 1, back up to chapter 2, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Back up to chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And these are verses, of course, that you've seen in salvation tracts and so forth. But again, this is the highlight of these two chapters that I think Paul is talking about. Verse 8 of Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that, of course, is where I get plus nothing, because there's nothing after that. That's where it stops. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. In other words, nothing you or I can do. Why? Because it's the gift of God. And how much work do you do for a gift? Nothing. And the minute you do even a penny's worth, it's no longer a gift. Is something you've worked for. All right, so it's by grace that we're saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, you see, you don't see that brought out anywhere else in Scripture until we get to the Apostle Paul and his letters to Gentiles. All right, so now then, back to chapter 3, so we at least get a little ways in this half hour. He says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for what people? Gentiles." See, and all people don't want to admit that. That his apostleship was uniquely directed to the Gentiles. Now, he still had a heart for his Jewish people. Such a heavy heart for him, in fact, that he was willing to suffer eternal doom if they could be saved. So don't ever accuse Paul of having turned his back on his own people. But God was the one who designated at the Damascus Road conversion that he was going to be sent now far hence to the Gentiles. Israel has had it now for over 2,000 years. And God dealt with the nation of Israel through the prophets and through Christ's earthly ministry, through Peter and the 11. But they continued to reject it. And so now God does something totally different. And that's the best word I can put on it. He does something totally different. In fact, boy, now I am going off a field, aren't I? Turn over a couple pages to Philippians. I'll get back to Ephesians in a minute. But Philippians, chapter 1, verse 10. And he's still writing to Gentiles. And look what he says. That you may approve things that are, now the King James, and I imagine most of the other translations, they call it excellent. But that same Greek word, everywhere else in Scripture, is translated different. Now read it. That you may approve things that are what? Different. Oh, indeed it is. This whole gospel of the grace of God, and I'll come back to chapter 3 of Ephesians, is something so different from anything that has ever been laid on Israel or anyone else for that matter. And it's something that is just mind-boggling that God could now turn to the whole human race without benefit of religion, without benefit of priesthoods, without benefit of temples, and he goes straight to the heart of the believer and transforms him, makes him a new person, and then places him into the body of Christ. All right, so for this cause, verse 1 again, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Now verse 2, if you have heard. Now I've got to stop a minute again. You want to remember that by the time Paul writes Ephesians, it's somewhere around 64, 65 A.D. He's now a prisoner in Rome. That's why we call it one of the prison epistles. And if at the very stretch of our imagination, he began his ministry in about 40 A.D., this means that he's been out there amongst those pagan Gentiles now for some 25 years. Now, that's not long. It takes a long time. We're learning this on television. Whenever we go on a new station, we've learned now it takes at least a year before you start getting any real feedback. And it just takes that long. And we're learning to be patient. Well, now, the Apostle Paul was no different, really. It took a long time to convince these Gentile pagans not only of the gospel, but of this whole new lifestyle that embraced. And so this is why he puts it in this kind of language. If you have heard, it's a good possibility they hadn't yet. Even though the believers in Ephesus are the ones he's writing to, yet we got to realize that there were multitudes around these believers who, of course, had not heard at all. But here he puts it. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you. All right, but I'm going to stop first for the word dispensation. It's a word that I have refrained from using on the program purposely, simply because so many people have heard nothing but bad things about the word, even though they don't have any idea why. And so I've known from day one that I had to be careful how I use this word, because I'd turn people off before they even gave me a minute's time to listen. But I think I've built enough credibility across the country now that people won't get turned off when I use the word, because Paul does. It's a scriptural word. You back up to chapter 1 and verse 10. He uses it there as well. And so it's a biblical word. We're not pulling this out of the woodwork. We're not pulling it out of some theological book. But it's scriptural. And he says in Ephesians 1, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time. See, now we dealt with that several programs back. Now he's dealing with the dispensation of the grace of God. Well, to qualify a dispensation, it's just a simple word, really, from which we get the word stewardship, from which we get the word dispensing. In other words, when you go to the pharmacist with your prescription, you hand it on the counter, and what does he do? He dispenses what your doctor has ordered, but along with dispensing the product, he also gives you explicit instructions. You don't just go ahead and take that medicine haphazardly. You follow the instructions that came with that dispensing. All right, now to bring it back into the scripture analogy then, a dispensation was a period of time during which God laid particular dispensational instructions to the human race. Now, the best way I can illustrate a dispensation from the secular world is our own presidential administrations. And the best two I like to use are the administration of Jimmy Carter and the one followed by Ronald Reagan. Men with two totally different ideologies. I don't think we have any trouble with that. But yet they both led the country under the same Constitution. The same Constitution, and yet they were two such totally different ideologies. Well, how come? Well, let's go back to the Carter years, and he builds his own administration. He appoints his own cabinet. He appoints men who have the same ideology as he does concerning how the country should be administered and so forth. Now, it wasn't so much the 4 years that he was in the White House that made his administration. What made the Carter administration was the ideology that he promoted by whatever he suggested to Congress or however he handled foreign affairs. That's what marked the Carter administration. But it ended. And then there was a transition period, and from that dispensation of the Carter years, we went into someone with a totally different outview, and that was Ronald Reagan. And he, too, was under the same Constitution. And his term of office also came to the place where it ended. Now, again, whether he was in 4 years or 8 years, that's moot. But what counted was what was the ideology that they promoted for the country. What was the ideology and their system of administrating over here? Whether it was 4 years or 8 years is beside the point. You follow me? And so what makes an administration is what were they dispensing? Now, whenever our president, whoever he is, sends bills to Congress, and Congress finally ends up passing it, you can say that the administration was the one responsible for dispensing that particular piece of legislation. All right, now you can bring that into the scripture, and it's, I think, a beautiful analogy. When God called Moses and the nation of Israel out of Egypt, brought him around Sinai, called Moses up into the mount, what did he give to Moses? Law. And law was a dispensation. It was a dispensing to the nation of Israel, God's demands upon the nation as to how they were to worship, how they were to live, and all these things were part of that dispensation of law. Now, whether it went 1,500 years or whether it went 500 years, that's moot. But what's important is, what did God tell Moses to tell the children of Israel? The law. And of course, the law was in three parts. It was first and foremost the moral law, the Ten Commandments. It was the ritual law, how to worship and how to approach God with the sacrifices and the priesthood and so forth. And then it had the civil law, how to deal with your neighbor and how to settle disputes and so forth. That was all dispensed at Sinai. All right, but law ended. The cross ended it, of course. Because that's when everything was fulfilled, dispensationally, of law. But you see, God in His wisdom, and as we saw, I think, in one other program, I know we have some time to pass, Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Which means that He can keep things totally secret as long as He wants to. And He'll reveal certain things when He is good and ready. And we've seen that all the way up through human history. All right, so even though all the ramifications of the law were fulfilled at the cross, yet we find after we come into the early chapters of the book of Acts, not a word has been said that you're no longer under the law. There's not a word has been said. You no longer have to go to the temple. You don't have to keep the commandments as a system. And that doesn't come until, like this man is constantly saying, that this dispensation of the grace of God, which is in total opposition to law, was now dispensed by not Moses, but by Paul. Now, the other word for dispensing, like I said, is stewardship. So come back with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And while you're looking it up, I'll remind you how the word is used back in the Old Testament. Abraham, when God was approaching him about beginning a nation through him. Now, in order to have a nation of people, you've got to start with what? A child, a son, and he had none. And so what did he say to God? God, I have nothing, but Eliezer, where was he from? Damascus, who is the steward of my estate. Now, that's not word for word, but paraphrasing. Eliezer is the steward of my estate. That's all I have. But what was he saying? Eliezer was the man who managed all of Abraham's wealth. Now, when he was going to manage all of Abraham's wealth, not only did he dispense orders to the servants and the slaves and so forth, but he also dispensed when to sell and when to buy. Now, you want to remember, Abraham was wealthy. They have found bills of sale of things that Abraham bought and sold. So this steward, this manager of his estate, was the one who dispensed all of the things that kept things moving. All right, now, why am I saying all this? Because this is what Paul claims to be concerning the grace of God. All right, you got 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Start at verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. And what's your next word? Stewards of the what? The mysteries. Now, you see, there again, if you're a Bible student, you'll catch on real quick that Paul is always referring to the mysteries that were revealed to him. And what are mysteries? Secrets. And who kept them secret? God did. And when God called Paul out of the religion of Judaism and saved him on the road to Damascus, sent him down to Mount Sinai, and poured out on him for 3 years all the revelations of the mysteries. And there are all kinds of them. There isn't just one. There are a whole compilation of mysteries that Paul reveals in his writings. And since they were revealed to him, as he says over and over, he then became the what? The steward of them. And if he was the steward of them, he was the administrator of them. And when we understand that, this book becomes as plain as a 300-watt bulb. It just lays right out in front of you. Of course, this is a whole new administration. You're going to find terminology. You're going to find doctrinal things in Paul that you won't find anywhere else in Scripture. But he doesn't cancel what went before. It's just an advance on it because we're coming from the very small knowledge that they had way in the beginning, and it's just building and building and building. And then finally the promised Messiah came, and the nation of Israel was in the promised land. They had the temple, but yet what did they do with the Messiah? They crucified him. And they continued to reject him in those early chapters of Acts. And so then God says, that's the end of that dispensation of law. We're going to dispense something totally new. Just like moving from Jimmy Carter to Ronald Reagan. Administrations, and those of you who know anything at all about politics, as different as daylight and dark. Well, so is grace and law. You cannot mix them because they are so diverse. But the same God. God never changes. And all God has now done is said, instead of all of the things that the law demanded, I've already settled it on the cross. Now, if you'll believe it, I'll do everything that needs to be done. And all this is what's so satisfying with our mail when people write. Constantly, day in and day out, letters come. Oh, what freedom to step out from under the law and come into the grace of God. All right, now I've just got 5 minutes left and I still got a lot to cover. Chapter 3, still going on in verse 2. So if you've heard of this dispensing of the grace of God, which is, now here again is where he's going to claim his unique apostleship. It didn't come from Peter and the 12. It didn't come from Barnabas or Silas or Timothy or anything like that. It came from this man. And look how clearly he puts it. The grace of God which is given to me, and then where? To you. See how plain that is? And I may put it in another program, I may have, and I may in the future, I don't know. But over and over when I read this verse, I have to think of the numbers of people that have sat at our kitchen table. And I've showed them this verse in trying to help them to see that our doctrines have to come from this apostle of the Gentile. And they'll read it and say, well, I don't know what you're driving at. Well, you didn't read it. Read it again. And then after about the third or fourth time, they said, oh, you're telling me it came from Paul to us? That's what it says. See? That's what it says. That the dispensation of the grace of God was given to this man, and he in turn gave it to us. And you've seen me put it on the board, I don't know how many times since we've been on television, that at Sinai, God gave the law to Moses. Moses took it down the mountain and gave it to whom? The nation of Israel. Never intended to go to the Gentile world. It was given to Israel. But now this man, from Galatians 1, we gather, also was taken down to Mount Sinai, probably for that full 3 years of indoctrination of these new mysteries. And he doesn't take it down the mountain to Israel. He goes immediately to the Gentile world up there in the area of Antioch and Tarsus, and then finally goes into his missionary journeys and so forth. All right. So, read it again. Verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation or the dispensing or the administrating of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word. And then the next verse starts in, how that by revelation. See? How that by a special revealing of the crucified, ascended Lord. And oh, listen, this is what we have to constantly remember. Come back with me a moment. I think maybe this is moot because we've used it so often. But come back with me to Romans chapter 11. And I guess the reason I use it as often I do is years and years ago when Jerry Poole, sitting here, first started coming to my class, McAllister. I used this verse one night and Jerry came up and I bet he remembers it. He said, Les, use it over and over, because he said, I've been in church all my life. I've never seen this verse before. And I think that's most people. They don't know these things are in here. But look what it says. Romans 11, verse 13, for Paul writes, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. See how plain that is? Now, you don't need a theologian degree to understand that. Anybody can read, can understand what he's saying is that he was uniquely sent, not to Israel as the 12 were, but he was sent to those pagan Gentiles. And those pagan Gentiles seemingly were hungry and they gobbled it up. And this man almost single-handedly turned the Roman Empire inside out. And it has come down all these 2,000 years and we're still reveling in this same gospel that was begun by this apostle. And that is that it's by faith, by God's grace alone. Now, I always have to qualify. I'm talking about salvation. I'm not saying that you're saved by faith plus nothing and then you just go on and drift. No, no. But for salvation, it's faith and faith alone.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.